So my title today is Victory or Defeat.
Amen.
Let's talk about what we believe. So the first, as we start, I loved this image because I think most of us can relate to this. When we went to school as a kid, I think all of us have at some point been to a football game, attended one, were in one, played football, played a musical instrument, were in the cheering band, spectated, sold hot dogs, sold raffle tickets. I mean, raise your hand if you had any connection at all with that field, whether it's running track or just showing up or being a gatekeeper. Or I think everybody's had some relation to a sport, and that one in particular, I think it really connects with kids, especially in high school. So in thinking about when I saw this, I thought, you know, with a football field, with this, with everybody who shows up, everybody has a role to play. Mm-hmm. You're either spectating, you're in the cheer section, you're selling tickets, you're selling hot dogs, you're giving away free food, you're running the water cooler, you're playing the game, you're cheerleading, you're doing everybody's doing something.
Yeah.
You're either one or the other, but you're doing something.
That's right.
In my case, it might have been hiding under the bleachers. Doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing a couple of different times. But you know, you get your friends and you go hang out, and when you're a teenager, it's like, oh my gosh, who has the cigarette? You know, just that kind of jazz. So I have a couple of those memories. I have a couple other good memories, too. I at one time, I was the person who carried the flag. I was in the majorettes. I did that. I did a little stint doing that one time. So anyway, but I particularly wanted to share a story about our oldest son relating to sports. We homeschooled our kids, and so we really very intentional about it. It was very important to us, and so we homeschooled them. And long about the 10th grade, our oldest son comes up to us and says, yeah, Mom, Dad, you know, I want to go to public school. And we're like, well, what do you want to do that for? And he was like, you know, well, I want to meet other kids, blah, blah, blah. And then and we said, well, you know, we're the parents. We know what's best. not now. And so every year he would come up to us and kind of put his little case out of why he wanted to go to public school. And we would always kind of shoot him down. And to be honest, part of it, we were homeschooling because we lived in a bad neighborhood down south. Then when we moved to Montana, it was just a habit by then, and it was something it was hard for us to let go. We had a little bit of fear in letting other people have that kind of input into our kids. We just, you know, we had ideas that we were working on. And over the years, we finally started kind of releasing that. But poor Reese, he keeps bringing it up. You know, hey, I'd like to go to public school here. I know you guys have issues, but I'd like to go. But long about the 7th or 8th grade, he kind of quit asking. And then about the 8th grade, Dana and I really got some fire under us to change our parenting style. And we said, yeah, if you want an education, it's not going to come from us anymore. You're going to go to public school. That's what needs to happen for you. And so we went to him and we said, okay, son, you need to go to public school. And he said, I don't want to go. He had changed his mind.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think that part of what had happened was that he picked up on our fear.
Yeah.
He picked up on our experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He picked up on the fact that we didn't want him to have our experiences when we were kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And we wanted a better life for him. But he cherry picked the good and the bad and the ugly. Uh-huh. From us, and he over a course of years, it killed his drive.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. So the story has a reasonably good end. We just said, hey, if you want to get an education, you're going to have to go to public school. So he reluctantly, we took him through the process, started in May, went and met the school people. They were amazing. They helped us raise our kids. Thank you, Jesus, for the government paying for my kid to go to school. That was such an honor. Thank you, taxpayers. We were so blessed, really.
Yeah.
But he had a pretty good skill set. We didn't really know what the kid's skill set was, to be honest with you. You know, Dana had taught him mixed martial arts. We knew he could run fast. I mean, he'd run faster than me. You know?
Yeah, he's real fast.
Yeah, we'd done our best. He played the piano. He'd been taking piano lessons for 4 years. We thought he was reasonably squared away. But we didn't know what was in him, and he was quite insecure. I mean, he didn't say it, you know, because he was a pretty tough little dude.
Yeah.
But he didn't say it. But he was really kind of concerned. He'd never been in a room with that many kids before. So all of you guys know, having been to high school, how hard it is to go to high school. But imagine going to high school when you've never been to public school at all, and being around a bunch of kids you didn't know, and no warm welcome, and you're going in the ninth grade. So we really, I don't know how well we set that kid up for success, but we tried. So we were really fortunate, though, at a church picnic in May. It was at these people's house, and they happened to have a football game. It was at Jay and Anita's house, or it was at it was somebody, one of the families. Anyway, they had a bunch of teenagers there, college kids, and they were all playing football in the backyard. Well, Reese had never played football. He didn't know anything about football. All they said was, "Yeah, we go when we get the guy with the ball." And he just got out there, 14 years old, and he's like tackling 20-year-olds. Like he's running them down like nothing. Wow. And so one of the parents came up to him afterwards and said, "Hey, you look like you're pretty good at this. You need to go sign up for football." And here he is, never even been in public school. And he says, he comes home, he says, "Well, you know, I'm going to public school, I may as well go for it, I will sign up for football." And so I'm like, "Wow, way to go, son." So it kind of yanks our whole family into this three sports a year, football camp, wrestling camp, track meets. He was so funny. He comes home from his football camp, and I know he's not going to mind me sharing this, and he's, you know, getting ready to start public school and starting to go to these football practices, because it's a big deal, you know, it's a big deal, especially these young men. And he comes home, he's like, "Oh, Mom." I'm like, "Hey, how'd the camp go?" "It went great. Did you do okay?" "Yeah, I did good." "Mom, how big is the football field?" I was afraid to ask. They were talking about it, and I said, "It's 100 yards, honey." But like, he just, that's, it was tough.
Yeah.
And so he had such a curve there. But the cool thing about the whole thing was we had prepared him, but until he put himself in the game,
that's right.
And not just football. I mean, for him, it was the whole gambit. It was everything. Until he started putting himself out there, he thought he had like two skill sets. I can do mixed martial arts, and I can play the piano, and I can beat my brothers up, and I'm really good at Final Fantasy on video game, and I can read well. You know, that was basically, you know, what he knew that he was good at. By the time he got done with high school, he had quite a little skill set.
Yeah.
And he knew because he was just putting himself out there. And he put himself out there and put himself out there.
Yep.
He wasn't like a super 4.0 GPA kind of kid.
Right.
He was more of a tough, brawly kind of guy. But, I mean, it was such an honor that we had a community that worked with us and actually kind of held me in Dana's hand. Because we were really, you know, we were probably as nervous as he was, you know. And then his brothers followed in suit right behind him. And the thing is, though, is belief could have stopped him. And it was a belief he picked up from Mom and Dad. It could have stopped him from even moving forward. And it's our heart, Dana and I, it's our heart for anybody, all of you, everyone that comes into the gateway, into this community, that you get on that field and do your part, whether it's selling the hot dog, greeting at the door, selling tickets, running the ball, carrying the water cooler, coaching, being the mom and dad screaming if it's a wrestling match especially. But I think what happens with people is they run into the same thing that Reese ran into when he was 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. When I think all of us have a hunger and a fight and grit. We want to get out there and do something. We don't know what it is, but we want to find out what is it that God has for us. Right now, no matter how old you are, no matter where you're at in your life, God's got something he wants to do.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some kind of change he's wanting to make. He's wanting to expand your perspective on something. He's wanting you to go for something with your job, or he's wanting you to interact differently on a relationship. But there's something in our lives that he wants to do that's more than where we're at. We're
that's
all on
right.
a journey somewhere.
Amen.
Some of us have our finger on it, and we're like, "I really think God's here," and we're just chugging along, and then other people are a little more in a neutral state, just like, "God, I'm open-minded. What are we doing here?" But no matter where you're at, God wants to be there. It's just a matter of how much you're putting him in the mix with you.
Yes, yes.
But what happens is, across our life, and it starts when we're kids, little comments will get made to us, and it'll affect our belief. And that's what happened with our son Reese. You know, we told him, honey, I don't feel that good about you going to homeschool. I think you need to stay in homeschool. I don't feel that good about you going to school. I don't know that that's really for you right now. He picked up that belief. And that's just an example. It's a tangible example.
Yeah.
You know, but we hear those things. Mm-hmm. People will tell us, oh, you're just not really athletic. Mm-hmm. You know, you're really not smart. I mean, honestly, there are people in this room that their parents told them, you aren't smart. Yeah. Or that teacher said, yeah, you may as well just give up and quit. I mean, Dana's school told him that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just pick up things along the way of words that people say, and that wide open drive, grit, let's go out and see what the world has for us. Let's go conquer a mountain. Let's go explore. Let's go do something. Let's go see what's in that, to realize what those giftings are. We lose that because of words, because of traumatic events, bad circumstances, stuff doesn't work out, we get discouraged and like, well, I'm not going to do that again, you know. And as life deals us those hands, what happens is little beliefs get lodged in there. We don't even see how they're working themselves out, but they keep us from moving. And all of a sudden, we can get to that place where we lose our grit, we lose our passion, and next thing you know, we're on the bleachers way up there not doing anything. And we're kind of not engaged and half the time not even showing up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of a thing that can happen with us, and that's not God's best, but it's a reality that we deal with.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk today about belief and how belief will keep us from having the motivation that we need. This is a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. There's so many cool pictures of that guy online.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's no sissy pictures of Theodore Roosevelt. They're all kind of studly. There he is looking really mean, like he's getting ready to punch somebody. Anyway. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short and short again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming.
Yep.
But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, yes, put me on that field, that's Cheryl, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory or defeat.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So talking about putting yourself out there, I mean, I remember when I was in school, I was always the second to the shortest kid in the room. So when they would go down the line picking people for the teams, it's like they'd always start out with the tall kids. And then they'd pick their two teams. And then I was always like the second to the last one to get chosen. But I was so enthusiastic. I don't know what it was, but I thought I could do anything. Like, go. I got enough enthusiasm for everybody. Don't you guys worry about it. Just put me on the team. And then I would get on the team, and I'd go to hit the ball. Oh, it was terrible with volleyball. I thought I was such a good volleyball player, but I was terrible. And so when I get out there, and I would just give it my best, and every now and then I'd get a ball over there. And I was a decent server, but, you know, basically I stunk. And but the thing is I put myself out there, and that's how I figured out what I was good at. I did find out that I was really good at obstacle courses because I was so short and I was pretty fast. So when you throw me in an obstacle course, I beat the whole class, like 65 kids, man. I was get up underneath the chair, jump the rope, go through the ditch. I'm good at it. Run up and down the bleachers. But give me a volleyball or make me hit something. It was, you know, you may as well break my wrist. It was terrible. But, you know, that's the thing. You don't know what you have until you get out there and start trying different things.
That's right. Yes.
And we see that in the church right here.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are. You think you've done everything. I mean, I think I've done everything, but I haven't. There's so much more we have yet to do. And there's so much many things. There's so much many things. That's a great sentence. There's so many things here that you guys can put yourself out there and do.
Yeah.
But we do have to be careful how we listen to our experiences. Every experience you have speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you show up and you do something and it didn't go the way you wanted it to, or people weren't nice, or you were doing something at a job and, you know, it didn't go well, just be careful with how you're hearing what people say, and when you walk away from that conversation, what do you get out of it? Victory makers.
Amen. Thank you.
Number one, change your mind.
Yep.
Being attentive to your mind. Being attentive to what... Here's what happens. And this definitely happened with me and Dana. We both came from pretty rough homes. Our parents did the best they could. So, I mean, it is what it is. And some of you guys came from rough homes. But we were so concerned about our kids being broken. I was concerned I was going to break them. Because I was reasonably broken.
Yeah.
And what happened is my experiences turned into my language, and my little 10-year-old started picking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was actually acting on it and not feeling given the freedom. But what happens is we'll have our buddies, our friends, our, you know, people that are, you know, in here on the field doing something. And we've had an experience related somehow to what they're going through right now. And it's real easy for us to say something like, yeah, be careful, I'm going to give you a word of advice.
Uh-huh.
You know that front load, when somebody says, I'm going to give you a word of advice based on my experience. On the one hand, it's like, I really want to hear what you have because it's probably going to help me. But on the other hand, I'm like, you're getting ready to kill my joy. I was going to run into the wall and find the wall on my own,
right.
But I'm thinking I'm not going to get to run very far. If I'm listening to you right now, I'm just not even going to go there. Because you know? Sometimes discouragement is falling.
Right.
People think they're giving you wisdom and advice, but in reality, it's based off of their experience, and their experience is not yours.
That's right.
And I used to have a hard time, because I'm very input, like I want everybody's input. You know, I may be a little prickly about it, but I kind of do value what other people have to say, and I know there's people out there that are smarter than me. The Bible says wisdom's in a multitude of counselors. That's true.
That's right.
But you have to also understand that other people can be speaking out of their experiences.
Yeah.
And be careful when you're sharing with other people that you're not just speaking out of your experiences.
Yeah.
And if you are speaking out of your experience, which is a valuable commodity to a young person, be careful that you're not speaking out of your fear and your defeat.
Yeah. Amen. That's
because
right.
Because just because it didn't work for you doesn't mean that God doesn't have something really cool for them in that spot.
That's right.
And
amen.
The cool thing with, like my kids, and I'm thankful, they have not struggled with the stuff Dana and I struggled with.
Yeah.
They have equal and horrible things they're struggling with on their own. And sadly, I have no advice to give them because I have no experience with what they're dealing with. Like, I'm sorry, dude. I don't know where you're at. I love you. You're doing so good. You know, but the thing is they do have different problems.
That's true.
Anyway, just change your minds. Let's go over some ways that we get hindered. But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So one of the things that people do, very common, is we will think that, you know, I would like to take XYZ risk. I would like to do this or put myself out there in church or in a job or in this relationship or in this friendship. I'd like to kind of go in a certain specific direction with my life. You know, I know God wants me to, et cetera, da, 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 da. You know, things, I know God wants me to do this. But what will happen is we think that God's kind of waiting on us to earn the right for his help, you know, or to earn the right to being called his child. Well, I can't be called his child because I have a drinking problem. I can't be called his child because I'm yelling all the time and I'm just not a nice person. You know, there's different things. You know, or sometimes we think that we have to earn the right to be a better person. And I know that for the majority of us, we're not so silly that we would admit to having these thoughts. But I think subconsciously they're there. Yeah. That that's an unworthy thing that happens, you know.
Yeah.
We don't need to prove ourselves in order to make a positive change. Like, think about that. You really don't have to prove to anybody that you're worthy to make a change in your life.
That's right.
Because God already deemed you worthy because he sent his son to die for you.
That's right.
He didn't, say, I'm sending my son after Mary straightens up her act.
Yeah.
You know? He didn't say, I sent my son, you know, after such and so stopped drinking and carousing. you know? Now, he sent his son now,
yeah.
And we don't have to get ourselves positioned for improvement. There's
Amen.
No such thing as a position for improvement.
That's right.
You know, we're already positioned for improvement.
Yeah,
because
amen.
He's God.
Like that's right. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Praise God. Amen.
Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Romans 12:2. Changing the way you think. Transform you into a new person. Don't copy the customs of the world. Learn to know God's will. See, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So when we take that step of, I don't have to position myself for improvement, you know, God's like, he's there, I'm here, let's do it. Let's dance.
Yeah, there you go.
Go for it. You know? So we're like, okay, I'm changing the way I think. Step one. Well, then, how do we do that? It starts by saying, forget the cliche, what would Jesus do?
Right.
But ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Like, seriously, what would you do, God? Like, right here, right now, yeah. What would you do? Any thoughts? I'm listening.
Yeah.
And then listen.
Yeah.
That's called putting God in the mix.
Yes.
And
yeah.
How much are we putting God in the mix of our stuff, of our suitcase? Here's my suitcase, God. It's kind of a mess. Actually, I need to do my laundry. But get in here and get into the mix of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And speak to it.
Amen.
What can I do differently? What can I get out of this? How
yeah.
are things doing? Like, am I doing okay? Can I tweak something?
Yeah.
Do I need to hear something from you? Putting him in the mix. And what's going to happen as we do that is let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's where we start getting vision.
Yeah.
Vision for our life. Vision to where we actually start seeing that suitcase a little different.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, here's a couple of dirty things. We're going to get those washed up. We're going to put them back in, fold up nice, neat, move things around a little bit. Still have the same stuff, but it's a little more tidy.
Mm-hmm.
We get vision for yeah. something. We get vision. We get motivation.
Yeah.
But it starts by letting God transform you into a new person.
Yeah.
It starts by letting him, and we do that by putting him in the mix.
Yes. Amen.
Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make.
Yeah.
Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to think about how you navigate your life, how much you put God into the mix of your daily life and what that looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
And think about this. It does not just affect you.
That's right.
It affects those around you. And so I want you to think about this. Think about when you are navigating your kids, your family, your friends. Now, we are normally with friendships. We're drawn to people who are like us, but we're drawn to people who are different than us. I think of Gloria and Linda. You guys are like peas and carrots. I mean, you're quiet and you're talkative. And it's just like you guys really are. We are drawn to people who are strong in areas that we're not, right?
Yes.
And so they're going to have a different set of problems than we have. They're going to have a different set of struggles than we have. But we kind of like that. We kind of like that so we can be strong for each other, right? So when I'm going through something, and it's the same way with family members. You know, your kids, your relationships with your kids, your grandkids. I'm going through things and I'm just struggling along. And I'm gripey, grouchy, crying, and, you know, we all get that way.
Yeah.
The other person is with us in that mix. Well, when they see me pull Jesus right down here with me
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm heading to Jesus. You know, and they hear our professions.
Mm-hmm.
They hear us in a sad place, but also putting God there in the mix.
Yeah.
When we put God in our mix and we are doing that in community with our friends, our family, our church members, our community, and when we are struggling along, which we all struggle along at different points, and when we do that and we're doing that alongside, they see how we navigate and it actually affects them.
Yeah.
And it says, so that you and your descendants might live. You have no idea that you as a Christian, how much impact you have on your friends just by the fact that they see you standing tall.
Okay.
You know, with your kids. I mean, I remember my kids like thinking, and you guys, this isn't a new story, but you see your kids struggling along, you're like, is that kid ever going to become a Christian? Is that kid ever going to want to have a walk with God?
Right.
And then down the road, you start seeing things.
Yes.
Well, they didn't get that by accident. They got that by your testimony.
Yes.
What's the verbiage coming out of your mouth when you're navigating? Is you're navigating, I'm waiting on God to show me this. God, you know, you're like, where are you at? Be verbal about it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to live our lives in a closet with our walk with God. We come out of the closet, guys. Tell somebody how you're doing with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I'm struggling with this. Well, a lot of people know we're struggling. I mean, all you got to do is poke me and I'll tell you where I'm struggling. You know? But to be able to say, even in that, here's where God's at in my mix. He's moving my suitcase around.
Yeah.
I'm asking the Lord to just show me what I can do to better partner with Him. I'm asking Him to bring His light and His revelation. I'm asking Him, what good can I get out of this? I'm choosing with my mind. I'm going to get some good out of this. I don't see it right now, but I'm hanging on because I know
over
the days and months and years, I'm going to come out of this and I'm going to get some good. I'm going to have a good time. I will see the hand of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
When our kids see us grasping and pushing and reaching and obtaining, it does something to them. Does something to our community. It builds each other up. That's why Dana was passing the mic around. We need to hear God coming
that's
through.
Right.
I need to hear your testimonies. It puts gas in my tank.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Amen.
So
that's
changing
good.
Our mind. Blessings. Be mindful of what you are believing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then just another back note on the last point. Mm-hmm. You're actually teaching yourself and those next to you how to fight. Even if they're not Christian.
Yeah, that's
teaching
right.
Teaching them how to fight.
That's right.
At the end of the day, that's what we all have to do. We have to fight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. For as a man thinks within himself, so he is. Proverbs 23, verse 7. So believing in your rightness about a direction will drive you in that direction.
Yeah.
So, and think about this as a subconscious thing, okay? If I believe that alcohol is going to make me feel better and help me deal with my problems, even though I know it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
I know that I don't need to be going and self-medicating like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I really believe it, when I get weak, what am I going to do? If I really believe that shopping is going to make me feel better, I'm going to go shopping. You know?
Uh-huh.
If I, you know, you just think about it. There's so many things. If we really believe certain behaviors are going to yield a certain direction, we're going to want to go there, even though we may, on a conscious level, know that we're going to blow our budget.
Yeah.
But on a subconscious level, the want to is going to be a whole lot bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I can tell you how many times I'm like, boy, I'd love to go out to eat. I know that'd make me feel better. And I'm sitting here thinking, you got plenty of food at the house. What's wrong with you? A 15-minute meal would taste just as good as what you're going to get at the restaurant. But, you know, but then again, I have to, like, make myself believe.
Yeah.
Okay, that 15-minute meal really is $45 less than Applebee's.
Yeah.
And it's going to taste good, too. And I'm probably not going to gain 5 pounds from the extra salt. Anyway. All right, so belief is everything. Believing in your rightness about a direction will drive you right on in to that direction.
Yes.
Belief drives behavior.
Mm.
So, if I believe that this diet change, that this exercise routine, that my Bible reading routine, that this, if I really truly believe that if I make XYZ changes, then I'm going to, do that thing, right? And then the said change that I'm wanting to do, it's going to happen. And so I do it and I make it happen. Now this seems easy. For most things, okay?
Yeah.
This right here is what we call self-help. This is a whole book genre right here, self-helps. I summed it up in 3 lines. Look, I saved you guys all that money. You don't have to buy any self-help books for a while, you know, if you want to do self-help. This is what self-help is. But the thing is, the self-help really doesn't take into consideration hidden belief.
That's right.
What about hidden beliefs?
Yeah.
And we talk about this at church a lot about what lies are you believing, and almost to the point to where it sounds kind of creepy, like, oh, there's a lie I'm believing. Well, you know what? That's what we're talking about when we say, is there a lie you're believing? It's kind of important.
Yeah.
It's like a hidden belief. Some sort of something underneath that's just telling you something different than what's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you deep down, if you're believing a lie about something, what's going to happen is you're going to have a tug or a pullback away from that better behavior. And what will happen is over time, without even realizing it, you'll start sabotaging it. Mm. You'll start sabotaging it because the gas won't be in your tank because there's something undertow that's just like, just doesn't quite believe that you got it. And you think about it like, you know, if you're convinced because your parents told you you weren't smart, or you're convinced because for some other reason you thought you weren't worthy, or somebody said, oh, nobody's ever going to love you, or you're never going to, I mean, you guys, if you think about it for a minute, there's probably some sort of an underlying belief. If there's something that you're going after and you're having a hard time getting there, and you feel like there's just always this pullback, there's probably a something underneath that's tugging you back. You see it in a lot of people's behaviors when they'll just keep doing the same things over. Like they're thinking it's going to work out, but then for some reason they draw back. This was definitely me a couple of weeks ago in regards to my school. Is just something inside of me was saying, you know, you just don't have this. And it was worse. You know, like victory isn't yours now. And then when I prayed, I really felt like the Lord said, yes, I'm giving you permission. And that kind of put more gas in my tank, and I've been more freed up to study harder now and to be more engaged. So it's a real thing. I think if we passed a mic around, some of you guys could even have some things to add to that conversation. Okay. God did make a way. Believing in the wrongness of a direction will drive you away from that direction. That's kind of the opposite of that. As me and Dana were talking about this, you know, say for instance, you know that it's wrong to use drugs, okay? But yet, you've got this thing in you that wants to use drugs, okay? Have you ever noticed that people that use drugs usually end up in jail? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that, like, they subconsciously, deep down, something inside of them is saying, yes, mom and dad told me that was a bad move. Uh-huh. And so there's this pullback and it ends up blowing up. I mean, it kind of works out that way. So it was kind of a funny moment, like last night. It may not be funny right now. Okay, so the point is this. If this is resonating with you on any end of the spectrum, okay, just, I want you to hear this. You're normal.
Yeah. Amen.
You are normal. This is like normal stuff. Yeah. And some of us are really in a good place, and we're healthy, and we're not really fighting. But some of us are really struggling. And it could be physical in nature. It could be habits. It could be just beliefs about ourselves, and we're struggling with depression about it, whatever it is. You know, so, but you're normal. I want you to know that. Yeah. You need to hear that today.
Yeah.
There's nothing about you that's not normal. We are all going through. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about that for a minute, because Paul dealt with the same thing.
Yeah.
We don't know what his issues are, but we all have issues, and Paul had some issues. So we're going to talk about his. In Romans 7, just read chapter 7, guys. I'm going to read. Yeah. I took some excerpts. It's a long chapter. Oh, yeah. But read chapter 7 when you get home if you want to hear about Paul's struggle. Uh-huh. The conflict of two natures. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Ouch! For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. He's not finished yet.
Yeah.
For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? I mean, that's turmoil, people. That's really, really struggling. The man is struggling.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. It's real.
Yeah.
It's a real struggle.
Yeah.
And we don't need to beat ourselves up and say, okay, I got to go buck up and cowboy up and pull up my bootstraps to get ready so maybe God will deem me worthy enough to help me go around the mountain again. No, that's not the way it is.
That's right.
He knows the struggle that we have with our flesh.
Yes.
Amen. Gosh, he loves us so much.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
Delivers from bondage. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. No condemnation.
No condemnation.
Yes. You are not condemned. God is not condemning you. He loves you.
That's right.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're chugging along.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're just chugging along.
Yeah. Amen.
Changing habits is not always so simple, but God did make a way.
Yes.
Again, I just want to come back to putting God in the mix. So this is the same scripture four different ways. So I get done. I have this little sidebar note here. Dana and I review messages anytime I'm speaking. So we get done, and he's like, Cheryl, why'd you have all these different Bible verses? All these different, like, what version are you using? And I'm like, I think I looked at 15 different Bible versions just to try to come up with, you know. So yes, I'm studying really hard for you guys. And Dana's like, where'd you get this GNT? Where'd you get that HCSB? That sounds like the initials of a bank. I'm sorry. But these are legitimate Bible translations. They're there. This is legit. Okay, but this is the same. I put this on here four times. It's Philippians 2:13, because I want to hammer it home here.
Yeah.
For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. God has a good plan for your life.
That's right.
He does. And he's going to enable you. It's in him to will and to do. And that's the, I forgot what that is. I'll tell you, the Bible translation, HCSB. Look it up.
It's
a long word for you. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Mm-hmm. Philippians 2:13. He puts that wanting in us. That's why you're here today.
Uh-huh.
That's why you guys came to church today.
Yes.
He put that want in there.
Yeah. Yep.
Because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his purpose. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Amen.
So happy with us.
Yes.
So one of the things I say is, and one of my prayers for you guys, those of you who are serving in ministries here, whether it's passing out the all the things that are going on, the people turning on the lights, the worship team, the passing out the programs, I'm like, God, help them find joy in their service.
Yeah.
When these life group leaders are opening up their home and they're like bringing people in, God, help them find joy in the going, because God is finding joy in us as we engage.
Yes. Yep.
So number three, stay on the team.
Amen.
So again, this is what happens with that belief thing. As we get discouraged, we get beat up.
Yeah.
And but what ends up happening is people kind of end up leaving the field altogether. They just kind of stop showing up. They're like, hey, I'm done. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But stay on the team. The team needs you. The community,
right.
We need you. And some of us are in tougher places than others. Some of us are strong. Some of us are not as strong at different seasons in our life. We go through, some of us, so raise your hand if you know that you've been through a bad season. There's been times when you've been in a bad place. Don't leave.
That's right.
Don't leave. If any of you guys ever get your feelings hurt, or you get where you just feel like you got to go off the radar, if you don't like me and Dana no more and you got to go, I mean, it happens. We get it. I don't care what the issue is. Let me and Dana lay hands on you and pray for you.
That's right.
We want to bless you.
Yep.
The why does not matter.
That's right.
We love you. And we want to bless you if you feel so compelled. But we also just say, if you're going through, stay on the team.
Yes.
Keep showing up. Because we need each other.
Yep. That's right.
God has a wonderful plan. He reveals his purpose as we follow him, as we give him our hearts, as we ask for his perspective, ask what we can get out of a situation, dialogue with him. It's up to him to accomplish his will and purposes in us. There's so much that we have no control over in our life. We don't know. There's a lot of things we have no control over. Those things are in his hands, but it's in our hands to actually stay engaged and keep putting him in the mix.
That's right.
Stay where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. Arthur Ashe, tennis player. He was an amazing tennis player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really a man of character. And then I want to add to that quote, and God will do the rest.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, that's all we can expect is to start where we are, use what we have, do what we can, and see what God does with that.
Yeah.
You know, we're not responsible for massive results. We're just responsible to stay engaged. In the Bible verse, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. You know, God's doing it here in your life. It's up to God to kind of make things roll with you.
Yeah.
And he's so faithful.
Yes, he is.
He's so faithful. He'll do his part. And then this is my favorite thing. This right here was like Wimbledon. Can you imagine playing tennis and having this many people watching you play? That's just crazy. That's amazing. You've got to get to the state in life where going for it is more important than winning or losing.
Yeah. Amen. Right? That's good.
There's something about just going for it. Just getting out there and seeing. Because there's new talents in each of you. Each of you. There's nobody who has the corner block on their own corner block of knowledge. Okay, this is I know everything and I'm done. No. We're not going to buy that. Because there's more giftings in you than you know. And you will only discover them when you put yourself out there and try something and fail miserably at it. Then you'll be, hey, I blew that one, but I was really good at that. You know, that part of it, I was awesome. I didn't realize that I was so good at talking on the phone. Or, you know, I mean, you just never know those skill sets that will just come out as you try something new.
Amen.
But to get to that state in life where the outcome is not the big deal.
That's right.
It's just going for it, you know, that makes all the difference.
Yep.
I just want to encourage you guys that think about what you're believing and staying engaged, you know.
Yeah.
We are better because you're here. We're all better because we're all here together.
Yep.
And so I want to encourage you guys, man, just, I look forward to the days ahead with you, because as we all get to know each other in life group and on team and doing things together, just doing life together, as we continue to build community, we're going to learn more about each other.
Yep.
And that is good for you. And it's good for me, because I want to know you more.
Yeah.
I want to get to know you more.
Yeah.
Take some time and risk, but there's things in there. There's nuggets out there. There's nuggets inside of you that you don't know you have. Looking forward to mining those out. It's our hope that all of us, and that every one of you, our hope for you is that God and you will be in that suitcase together in the mix, and that you're going to be on that field doing something, whatever it is God has for you to do. And we're going to cheer you on in that.
Yep. So. That's good.
All right.
Amen.
Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the time. God, I thank you for your attentiveness to our destiny.
Yeah.
Thank you for the way that you hover over our steps and you put people in our lives who love us along the way.
Yes.
And God, if there's been some thinking in our heads that have kept us from moving forward with our lives,
yes.
God, I pray you bring your light.
Yes, Jesus.
God. That you'd help us to see past where we are and to find you in the mix.
Yes.
God, be in our mix.
Yes, God, thank you.
Move things around.
Thank
give you,
Lord.
Permission to move that suitcase around and help us to make sense of things. And God, put your flashlight in there. Help us to find the dead mouse in the bottom of the suitcase. Or whatever, Lord, if there's some bad thinking there.
Yeah.
God, shine your light. Lord, even this week as we sleep and wake up and read our Bible, that you bring your light into our lives and show us your truth and let that truth uproot the lie.
Yes.
So we can go further with you and get those more things, those things that you have for us. We commit our paths to you. We commit our steps to you in the days ahead. And with gratitude, Lord, we just thank you for the days ahead. Thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name. Amen.